welcome this morning. We are very aware, and we say this a lot because it's true, but we're very aware that you could be a lot of different places right now. We know it's summer and it's hot outside, so anything involving water would probably be a good choice here this summer, but you chose to be here first on Sunday, so we're so glad that you're here. We also want to welcome everybody that's listening online as well. Just so excited about today. If you're new around here, or maybe you've slept since last week, which hopefully you have, we're in the middle of a series called Bulletproof Soul. And really what we've been doing is this. We've been moving methodically through an amazing book in the Bible. The Bible's not just one book. It's one book made up of 66 different books. And the book is Philippians. And really we've been doing what was originally meant with that book in the Bible. We've been reading cover to cover, beginning all the way through the end. That was the original intent of the author, Paul, writing to the church there in a city called Philippi, the Philippian church. And so we're really just doing what was originally meant with that book, that letter in the Bible. And so if you're new, or maybe you just need a refresher, let me take the entire book and really the whole series, what we're going to cover, and I'm going to condense it down to one thought, one sentence, which is really difficult, by the way, but I'm going to attempt to do that right now. So the big idea, big thought, the reason why this book is in the Bible, what God wants to speak to us, is that when, not if, but when you face pain, tragedy, fear, anxiety, hurt, when that happens in your life, God has your back. In fact, he's given, I'm like way past one sentence, but just bear with me. But in fact, God has given you a bulletproof vest for your soul. That when those difficult things happen, and they will happen in your life, it doesn't have to destroy you or kill you or knock you back, but you can keep moving forward. Amen. That's good news for us today. That's the whole idea, the whole thought, the reason why this book is in the Bible, and I'm excited because we're in part number 5. We're in chapter 2. But before we get there, before we jump in, just a couple of moments here. I won't spend as much time as I did last week if you were here, but I need to share with you again some exciting opportunities that are before us just 2 weeks from now. I went on record this past April, so a few months ago, and I shared with you that we have a new strategy when it comes to special offerings. And I made you a couple promises, promises that I have kept and I will keep. And here's a couple of the promises I made back in April. Number one, I promised you that this would not be a church, Christ Covenant, that this would not be a church where there are so many different special offerings taken up throughout the year. That you wouldn't have to sit through each and every single week or each and every single month. You wouldn't have to sit through all of these sob stories or these great needs, or this person gets up and they give this great speech this week and they've got this sad video with like Sarah McLachlan music, you know, save the puppies, that kind of deal. Like that would not happen in this church. That I would teach you how to be led by God and not by man. That it wouldn't be about somebody giving a good speech or a sad video, but that we would just give you a couple of opportunities to hear from God and be obedient to what he's asked you to do. And we said, second promise, that we'd only do that a couple of times, a few times a year. And I got to tell you, 2018, we have not taken up one special offering this entire year. And we're way past the halfway point here. And so that leads me to Sunday, July the 29th, a couple of Sundays from now, we are going to come together and we're going to give in what we're calling the legacy offering above and beyond our tithe. And so I just want to take a couple moments here and I want to break this down, what we're looking to do, what's our goal, because hopefully you're wondering that today, okay? If I'm going to ask God what he'd have me do, like what is this going to go to? And so I want to break that down. First thing you need to know is that our goal is $8,000 above and beyond the tithe on that Sunday. And that is a big goal for us, just so you know. That's a big target. That's something where God's got to come through for us to reach that number. So if we reach that number on Sunday, July the 29th, here's the four areas that we're going to use those funds for, where we're going to invest for great kingdom impact. Number one, We just think it would be the coolest thing to purchase and distribute backpacks, brand new backpacks, by the way, and school supplies for kids that need them. Wouldn't that be an amazing thing for us to do? And we thought, instead of trying to do our own thing, why not partner with somebody else who's already doing a good job and make it even better? Like, what a novel idea to partner with someone else. And so we went across the street to the YMCA, and they do something called Operation Backpack, which is exactly what I just said to you. And they're doing an amazing job, but we can help make it even more effective as we reach out to the needy families that could not afford to provide a backpack and school supplies for their kids. We believe that our greatest responsibility, just so you know, is right here in Houston in our backyard. Number two, the second thing is we want to help end Bible poverty by funding Bible translation movement Illuminations. Now, if you're curious about what that organization does, you can take that name. You can see it on the screen if you're here in the room, not listening online. You can Google that later and find out what they do. But an amazing organization. And so here's what ending Bible poverty looks like. They believe and they have a task that in our lifetime, which is amazing, but in our lifetime, they want to make sure that every single person has a copy of God's word in a language that they understand. And that's an amazing thing. Think about you trying to live your life for Jesus if you're trying to live that kind of life and not having the owner's manual, the Bible. That would be extremely difficult. It would be challenging. And so many people, over a billion with a B, over a billion have that challenge where they don't have the full Bible in a language that they know best. So we want to partner with them and help end Bible poverty. Number three, I have it in my heart, our leadership has it in our hearts, to send a mailer to thousands of homes around the church building promoting our church and a special fall outreach series that I hadn't even told you about yet. And we're doing the series, we'll start talking about it in August, but it's going to be a series that for someone who is unchurched, they do not go to church, someone that is de-churched, at one time they went to church and for whatever reason they backed out, and people that are far from God, it's going to be a series that they're interested in, a series that helps them in their world. And we just think it would be amazing to be able to send out that mailer to thousands of homes, letting them know that there's a place, there's a group of people, there's a church right around your home that loves you, that believes in you, and that wants God to do something special in your life. Amen? That'd be a pretty cool deal, and we're excited about that. And number four, we want to help accelerate the vision that we share at Christ Covenant and create margin. If you don't have margin with your own personal finances, you should really think about making that a part of your yearly budget. And so we want to do this. We want to take the remaining funds and we want to almost take like gasoline and pour it on the flame. Just continue the vision that we have here. And maybe you're wondering, what in the world is it? What's our vision? It's my first time here, or I've been here a little while, but I don't really know just yet. What's our vision? And I can tell you clearly, it's heaven full and hell empty. It's heaven full and hell empty. I don't know about you, but I know how God feels, and God doesn't want anyone to go to hell. He doesn't, and so it should be our hearts. So we want heaven full and hell empty. We want people like myself that were on the wrong path, that were going towards a destination that they weren't going to love, that was going there for eternity, by the way. We want people just like myself that would encounter the loving grace of Jesus Christ and that would make a change, and they would turn and head on the path towards Jesus in heaven for eternity. So we're excited about this, if you couldn't tell already, but a couple more things and then I'll pray and then we'll jump into the message. A couple more things you need to know. Number one, we have not committed to any of these four things yet. Like zero commitment. Not one penny of this offering has been committed. We've prayed it through. We've vetted it. We're ready to immediately invest in those areas. But we have not committed one penny there. So I want you to know today that if $0 come in on Sunday, July 29th, and there won't be because me and my wife are going to lead the way and give towards this. But if that happened, we would not be committed to anything. So there's no arm twisting here. There's no begging. Oh, if you don't do this, then all these poor... No. Like, there's just an opportunity before you. And I'm just asking you, number two, to be so bold. And this takes boldness. But I'm asking you to ask God, God, what would you have me do? That's it. And if God says, sit this one out, you better sit this one out. Most pastors won't tell you that. But I'm telling you that. I want you to ask God, God, what would you have me to do? And if he says nothing, do nothing. If he says something, do something. And if we'll all do a little, we can accomplish a lot and have great kingdom impact. I want you to bow your heads and pray with me. Let's reset here as we get ready to jump into the message. Lord, we love you so much. And of course, there's great excitement in our hearts for the opportunity. It's not need. It's opportunity in front of us to reach our city, to reach our nation and our world for you. And so we just pray, God, that you would speak to our hearts. We've got two more weeks to pray and to fast if we would like, to talk to our spouse if we're married. We've got two more weeks. So it's not an emotional decision. We want to hear from you. And so I just pray that you would rise up boldness on the inside of our church, God, that we would all be bold enough to ask you that simple question. God, what would you have us do with the legacy offering above and beyond the tithe? And God, we're excited for what we can do for you. And I pray lastly for each and every single person underneath the sound of my voice. I pray for the first timer and those that have been here for years. I pray for those listening online right now on our website. I pray for each of us that we would be open to hear from you, a good, awesome God. God, we're not here to play patty cake with you, to play games. We're here to hear from you. We're here to receive from you. We're here to be changed by you. I believe that you are real, and I believe your word is alive. And so I just pray, God, that you would do work in our hearts, that you would mold us and shape us to be the people you've called us to be, to fulfill the gifts and to use those gifts that you've placed on the inside of us to make your kingdom expand more on this earth and not our own. Have your way in us, we pray, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 It's going to be a good one. I'm ready. I'm ready. It wasn't too long ago that my wife and I, we had an interesting thing happen in the span of about a year. And I don't know if this has happened to you before. Maybe it has. But in the span of about a year, we had both of our vehicles, the airbags recalled. Like both our vehicles. And we had a Toyota Camry, we still have it, and also a Honda Pilot. I know we're big time in it. You're jealous. I get it. But that was us. And at the same time, within the same year, both of those vehicles, the airbags, were recalled. So we got that letter in the mail. And again, I don't know if that's happened to you, something like that before, but it was not a great feeling because as we researched it more, we realized that not only were they defaulting, but they were also killing people. This is true. Our airbags, instead of deploying and helping people, they were actually at times shooting out like metal and chemicals, things like that, and really hurting, sometimes killing people. And so we found that out. You can imagine the way that we felt, thinking, you know what, for years, we've been in these vehicles. At the time, we did not have our baby girl, but we had our son, Luke, with us in those same vehicles. And so we realized one day after getting both those letters that what we thought was meant to protect us was actually there to kill us. It's not a great feeling. And so we just thought about that, and I actually did more research, and I found out not just that, but other things about safety equipment that was meant to protect that actually could hurt. And I've got bad news before I've got good news, okay? But the bad news is there's a lot of safety equipment out there that is faulty, that does not work, and that can actually harm you. In fact, a whole nother situation, I found out that the U.S. Army, they had to get recalled 16,000 ceramic-plated body armor that they were using because they found out there could be a default there. So think about driving in a car with an airbag that doesn't help, but also think wearing a bulletproof vest overseas in a dangerous part of the world and realizing that vest does not work. That's a whole nother level, right? Not a good situation to be in. And so when we say the premise of this book in Philippians, when we say the premise that God's given you this bulletproof vest for your soul, like it feels good, but there's that thought that kind of creeps up there. His thought is this: is it maybe, just maybe, too good to be true? Right? Like, it just sounds too good. Like, I know you're not talking about physically, Pastor Ryan, but spiritually we've got this vest, but you don't know my life. You don't know what I go through. And so it just seems like this is not really that accurate what you're saying. It seems to me that it's too good to be true. What was meant to protect me, I don't know if it's working all the way like it should. And I got good news for you now, that even though it seems too good to be true, even though other safety equipment can be faulty, you got to hear the word of the Lord today, that everything he provides you works. Amen. That everything he has for you, you can take that to the bank and you can cash that check all day long. The bulletproof vest for your soul, it's not faulty. It doesn't make mistakes. It doesn't work 99% of the time. It works 100% of the time. You can put your life all in on that vest. Appreciate your golf claps. Thank you very much. It wasn't made in some sweatshop somewhere. Are you feeling me today? Like, it is something you can rely on. And so when life hits you, and it hits you hard, and it does, you haven't went through stuff yet, you're just not old enough, because it happens to everybody. And when life hits you hard, it does not have to destroy you. In fact, you can be stronger through it if you'll put on the vest. What's that vest you're talking about? What in the world? I'll tell you, it's simple. Sounds too good to be true, but it is true. It's joy in the Lord. No, Pastor Ryan, it's got to be more complicated than that. It's got to be like a three-step program, and then we do this thing and that. No, it's just simple. Joy in the Lord. That's what the book is about. It's why it was written. It's what you need to know today. You can handle the worst that life can shoot at you. If you got the word of God with you, I want you to turn to Philippians chapter 2. We ended in chapter 2, verse 11 last week, and so we're going to pick right back up in verse 12. Maybe you've got a Bible app on your phone. It was this last week that the YouVersion Bible app, the one that most of us have, it actually celebrated 10 years, so really cool thing. So if you got the Bible app, that works too, or if you got old school ink on paper, that will work as well. Philippians chapter 2, and here's kind of the flow today, just so you kind of know where we're going. We're going to read a couple of verses. Then I'm going to talk for a little bit. I'm going to read a couple of verses, and then I'm going to talk for a little bit. We're going to read a couple of verses, and then I'm going to talk for a little bit, and then we're going to wrap this thing up. Is that cool? That's what we're going to do today. So we're going to read verses 12 through 13, and then we're going to pull something out from there. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 13. Here's what God's word says to you and to me. Therefore, my dear friends, the Apostle Paul writing here, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence. Well, what's going on? Paul is actually in jail as he writes this letter to the church he started. But now much more in my absence, this is important, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. If you can underline on that app or in the Bible that you have in your hands, I would underline that part. Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. If you take notes in church, you should write this down. And if you don't take notes in church, you should write this down. But number one, here's the first point. Keep up the good work. Keep up the good work. We just read this in verses 12 through 13. Now, just so you know, as you're jotting that down, hopefully, keep up the good work. Just so you know, these verses are extremely difficult to understand. And so if you got them right away, kudos for you. But most Christ followers struggle with accurately interpreting these two verses. They are very challenging. They are very difficult, especially the line that says, continue to work out your salvation. And so I want to break down for you what God isn't saying and what God is saying, if that would be okay. So today we're almost like getting out of the shallow end and we're gonna like dip our toes in the deep end of the pool. I hope that's okay that we can do that. We can go a little bit deeper today than maybe normal. So I hope you brought your floaties, whatever you need, okay? But it's gonna be all right. But let's go a little bit deeper today and find out what God isn't saying and what God is saying so we truly understand the context and the significance of this passage. Let's start with what God is not saying. God is not saying that what you do for God earns salvation. Please hear that. God is not saying that what you do for him earns your salvation. He's not saying that if you do half the work, then God will do the rest. That's not what he's saying. This is why, take note of this, that God doesn't say work for your salvation. He says, work out your salvation. One word, huge significance. He doesn't say work for, he says work out your salvation. It's not about how many Bible verses you memorize, okay? It's not about how much you saw or how much you serve at the shelter. It doesn't matter how many hours you volunteer. It doesn't matter how good your halo is above your head, okay? It doesn't matter if you have perfect church attendance. You cannot earn your salvation. Can I get an amen? It's how it works. If you believe that, I love you, but you got to hear the truth. You are wrong. You cannot earn it. You can never earn it. You've got to get that in your heart. The only way that you can be saved, the only qualification of salvation is to be a sinner. And I don't know about y'all, but I fit that description right there. Like, that's all you need. Like, God doesn't need to be saved. He's God, never sinned. But us, unless y'all are perfect, I'm not perfect, so I need salvation. I need a Savior, and guess what? So do you. We all do. We cannot earn it. It's only by grace and grace alone. You receive it as a free gift. So God is not saying that you earn it, okay? We got that clear? Here's what God is saying, the Bible, that we can only work out what God is working in us. I want you to chew on that for a second. We can only work out what God is working in us. It's this idea of living for Jesus and owning our faith. I didn't plan on saying this, but this is applicable here. I know how the way that we're raising our kids, and we've got young kids, we've got two of them, but the way that we're raising them is that they would have a faith of their own. So let me talk to parents for a moment. It's amazing to bring up your child in church. It's an amazing thing to do. That's a must if you want to raise someone on fire. Like, you've got to do that. But I got to tell you that at one point in their life, as you're raising them up, they've got to make that faith personal and not just be mom and dad's faith. Like, they've got to experience God for themselves. They've got to realize that he's real to them, not just to mom and dad. We need more Christians. I didn't even plan on saying this. But we need more Christians that's not just like Christian on Facebook and by like adoption. Like, oh, my mom and dad were Christians, so I'm a Christian, I guess. Like, we don't need that. We need people that they realize, you know what? Jesus is real. He really died for me on the cross. He's my only way to heaven, and I'm all in. That's what we need. And we got to raise up our kids that way. That was free. That was not in my message. I'm sorry. I'm getting off track here. But it's this idea of obedience to God, living for Jesus, focusing everything on him, that what God has worked in us, we continue as we seek him. We've got to keep up the good work. Next verse, verse 14, Philippians chapter 2. We're going to read all the way through 16 on this one. Do everything without grumbling or arguing. That one hurts. Do everything without grumbling or arguing so that you may become blameless and pure. I want that. Just didn't like the sentence before. Anyways, children of God without fault and a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able, Paul talking again to the church he loves, he started, and then I'll be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. If you do all that stuff, then I'll realize that my work, it meant something, is what he's saying. The second point that we see from these verses is this, if you're taking notes, shine, baby, shine. Shine, baby, shine. We actually talk about this a lot here at the church. I've been here almost 8 months, so it'll be 8 months later on this week. In the 8 months that I've been here almost, I've talked about this repeatedly because God talks about this repeatedly. But one of the main missions of the church is to reach lost people for Jesus. Like one of the main missions that we have is to be a light shining in darkness. This is why we do what we do. This is why we started doing big series and big outreaches and we'll continue to do them. This is why we serve our city. This is why we financially invest in missionaries every single month. This is why we'll give to legacy offering. This is why we invest into the next generation ministries. We don't just lock them in some back room and they'll figure it out. No. We spend hours praying and planning and putting creativity into them. This is why we do what we do. We want to shine for Jesus. We want to show people God's love. But here's the deal. Church events and service projects are not the only way we can make an impact. Not the only way. Because everyone in this room who's a Christian, and we're not all, I get that, but everyone in this room who's a Christian, you are a walking billboard for Jesus. Here to preach, okay? Preach. Thank you. But you are a walking advertisement for Christ. So whether you like it or not, and you probably don't like it so much because I don't either, but your attitude that you have, that thing you posted yesterday on Facebook when you were mad, the way you raise your kids, the way that you handle good things and more than that, bad things in life, the way you handle stress and anxiety, the decisions that you make, the way that you allocate your funds and your personal finances, all of it screams to others, if you're a Christ follower of Jesus. So let me ask you a question. Are you giving Jesus a good reputation or a bad reputation? I can just drop the mic right there and be done. Just think about it. Are you giving him a good rep out there in the world? Whether you like it or not, you've got a hot mic in your hand at all times, and it is always on. Always on. How are you shining for Jesus? You got to get this in your soul today. So the Apostle Paul, he looked at the church as he penned this to paper, and he told them that God is looking at what you're saying. He's looking at how you're acting. He's looking at how you handle things with each other. Are you grumbling? It's another way to say complaining. Are you arguing? He says, do everything, not some things, not most things. Do everything without grumbling, without arguing. Essentially, the Bible is saying here, and in so many places, that if you want to reach other people, you have to be different than them. I'll say it to you this way. Darkness cannot help darkness. Light helps darkness. And so if your life is not any different than people who aren't trying to follow Jesus, then you've got some things wrong. You got to reprioritize. You should be different. And this is the tension that God has called us to live in as Christians, so you better embrace it. That you're to go into the world, but not be of the world. We will not be a church that just does a Christian club thing where we all just hang out together and anybody else is of the devil. Wrong church, go somewhere else, please. And all, like, please, like, that's not us. What we're called to do is to go into the darkness, but not bring darkness with us, bring light with us. We're called to go into the night and bring the light. We're called to go into the world, but not be of the world, because you can't reach a people that you're not willing to touch. So we got to be different, but we got to reach out and we've got to influence others. We've got to shine, baby, shine. I've told you this illustration before. It's real quick, real simple, but it bears repeating. Think about a boat for a moment. A boat is a great thing to think about in the summer. So just think about it for a moment, okay? And it's really good when it's not your boat. It's like a friend's boat, because then you have all the responsibilities, but you can enjoy it from time to time. So it's a friend's boat, okay? But think about a boat. A boat was made and designed to be in the water, right? That's its purpose, you could say. And so a boat in the water is a really great thing. But when you get water in the boat, that's a really bad thing. So think about it. A boat was built to be in the water, but not let the water get in the boat. A boat does no one any good stuck in storage somewhere. Y'all know how much those places cost, right? No good. A boat does no one good with a nice cover over it in the backyard somewhere or in your driveway. Does nobody any good. Its purpose is to be in the water. Do y'all see where I'm going here? We are to be in the world, but not have the world get in us. We cannot affect people for Jesus if we're not willing to touch them and be around them. We've got to shine, baby, shine. It's what God's called us to. That's the picture we need to see. Let's keep reading. Philippians chapter 2. I'm going to read a lot more verses, so hang with me. We're going to read verse 17 all the way through verse 30. Of course, if you don't have a copy of God's word, you've seen it on the screen. Philippians chapter 2. Starting in verse 17. But even if I'm being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. That sentence is important. Verse 18. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. For everyone looks out for their own interests. We can all testify of that. Not those of Jesus Christ, but you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me. Remember, he's in prison, verse 24. And I'm confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. But I think it's necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill. He was sick and almost died, but God had mercy on him. And not on him only, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. You can see the relationship there. Verse 28. Therefore, I am all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad, and I may have less anxiety. So then welcome him in the Lord with great joy, and honor people like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ. He risked his life to make up for the help you yourselves could not give me. The last point, if you're taking notes, number 3, the sacrifice is worth it. The sacrifice is worth it. I don't know who to give credit for this next quote, but I just thought it was valuable for us today. But I've heard it said this way before, that nothing is sweet without the sweat. I love that. Nothing is sweet without the sweat. And so, hear me, church, living authentically, and I use that word on purpose, living boldly for Christ, it will take sacrifice. Now, if it's just on your Facebook page and just something you like inherited from a mom, dad, stepmom, stepdad, it probably won't take much sacrifice. But if it's real, if it's authentic, if you're trying to live boldly for Christ, it will take sacrifice. Nothing is sweet without the sweat. But I'm here to tell you today, even though there's great sacrifice, it's worth every penny. Even though it's a life that's hard to live, it is worth it in the long run. And for a moment, I want us to take ourselves out of the biblical passage and just think logically, because I get this. Every single week that I preach, there's somebody listening that the Bible doesn't all the way do it for them. Now, the Bible's my all in all, okay? I believe the Bible is the inspired word of God. It's perfect and it's infallible. I believe that. But I realize the truth that some of you don't believe that just yet. So I want to show you something else to help support that in your world, in your life, okay? Because this is a church where you don't have to believe to belong, okay? We're all on the journey together, so I realize that. So let me just give you a logical example, a couple of them. This idea, the sacrifice for Jesus is worth it. Think about an athlete at the World Cup finals going on. Hopefully you haven't looked too many times at your phone. Jesus forgives you, it's okay. Got a lot of sports people in our church. I love sports. You know that if you heard me speak a few times. And think about an athlete. Just logically with me, follow this trend. An athlete, they would say this, that the sacrifice is worth it. Most of them work their entire lives for that prize. The hours in the gym, the years that they're critiqued and all on their form and everything that they do and don't do, the times that their buddies go out to do this thing and that thing, but they've got to train, the thousands of sprints, that just hurts just to say it, just a thousands of sprints. They sacrifice their whole lives, and at the end of the line, when they get to hold up that trophy, what do they tell you? It's worth it. It's worth it. Think about the self-made millionaires for a moment. I'm not talking about somebody that got their money because they inherited. I'm talking about self-made millionaires. They would say this too. Most of them, they had door after door after door shut in their face. Most of them read their biographies. Most of them went hungry many different times throughout their life. Most of them come from low means. Most of them had friends turn their back on them and say, that idea's never gonna work. But at the end of the day, when they see the crown they were striving for, what do they say? It was worth it. All those hours that I could have been spent doing this, but I was working on this idea. All of those months that I spent in my garage, in this garage startup, when no one even, like, they wouldn't even come to see the place because I'm in my garage. They wouldn't even come see it and they make fun of me, but it was worth it. Why? Because I achieved the goal. What's the goal? The goal is heaven, eternity with Jesus. And so if any pastor or any Christian ever comes to you and says, you know what? It's not that hard living for Jesus. If any well-meaning person ever tells you, friend, that living for Jesus is easy, please do not listen to them, because that is not the truth. Living authentically and boldly for Jesus, it takes sacrifice. It takes sweat. Can you tell? I mean, come on. It's hard. There's so many times that I would rather do anything else than pastor. Can I be honest with you today? Pastoring is not easy. I don't just have my junk. I got to handle all your junk too. Yep. And y'all got some junk. I'm just saying. Y'all think I'm kidding, but I'm just saying. It's hard. I'd rather make more money doing something else. I'd rather do something that's got just a few hours and not like it's hard, but not just for me. I'm not just saying, oh, woe is me. It's hard for you. I know you'd rather be at that party on Friday night. I know you'd rather make some bad, crooked business decisions that seems like they would pay off, but you just keep going down because you know Jesus has called me to something different. I know it's hard to raise your kids for Jesus. The smartphone has made it almost impossible. I get it. It's difficult. They have access to everything at any given moment. I understand that it's sacrifice, that it's hard, but it is so worth it. And we make it to heaven one day. And we experience the beauty and the vastness of worshiping Jesus for eternity. When we see him face to face, God willing, our family members, our friends, our coworkers, those that people that lived in our neighborhood, they end up there with us. When we get there, friend, it's worth it. Because hell is eternity away from God. It's eternal punishment, and it's not what God wants for you. So yes, it's a sacrifice, but it's so worth it. Nothing is sweet without the sweat. Bow your heads with me. Close your eyes. God, I pray. This holy moment, no one's talking, please. You're trying not to make too much noise putting up things. We're almost done. God, I just sense your presence here today, and I just pray, Lord, for each and every single person. I pray, God, that we would be inspired today from this holy text, your infallible word, perfect word, your word that's alive. I pray we'd be inspired, encouraged, just to take another step. If there's anyone here that they've been striving for their own salvation, I pray they would stop it. If they've been working for their salvation instead of working out, I pray, God, they would make a change. The truth is, they will never be good enough to earn your love and grace. Like I said earlier, really the only qualification is that they're a sinner just like me, and you'll save sinners. Jesus, it's why you came to this earth, to set the captive free. You came for sick people like us, not well people. Help us, God, to continue working out what you first worked in. We need it desperately. Desperately, I pray, God, right now, for those in this room that maybe they've locked themselves away in a Christian bubble. Maybe all their friends and everybody that they come into contact with throughout the week, maybe they only engage with other Christians. And that's necessary. That's one of the beauties of church and why we gather. But God, you've called us not to stay away from those that don't know you, but to engage with them. To share the hope and joy that we have. To shine like a light in dark places. Jesus, that's what you did. You had lunch and dinner and meals with sinners. Those that people scoffed at and pushed away and shamed, you entered in, not to let them influence you, but you to influence them. God, you've called us to shine in our communities, in our neighborhoods, at our office, at our schools, in our families that don't know you. Help us to do that. Help us to do that. And I pray lastly, number three, that we would realize the truth of your word. That if we are to live boldly and authentically for you, it will take sacrifice. But the sacrifice is worth it. Every head bowed, every eye closed, this holy moment. Just like I do each and every single week, I have to give us an opportunity this week to surrender your life to Jesus. I told you earlier, it's why we do what we do. It's why up here on this platform, I preach my guts out every single week, and I'm just laying it all on the line. It's why we have all these different ministries where we pour. It's why we do what we do. That you could know the hope that is found in Jesus and Jesus alone. So no one looking but me, please. But if there's anybody here underneath the sound of my voice, would you look at your life and you just know you are far from God. No preacher, no person has to tell you that. You just know. And even right now, you almost feel like a tugging, a drawing on the inside, and that's the Holy Spirit. He brings what God's word calls conviction. And it's a really good thing. He lets you know that there's some areas in your life, some decisions you've made, some thoughts you've been thinking, some sin that has separated you from God. And the Holy Spirit is bringing you back into right relationship with Jesus. So if that's you today, friend, you look at your life and you're far from Him. Maybe you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, or maybe you just feel like today I just realized that at one time I was close, but now I am so far and I want to recommit my life to Jesus, and that is perfectly okay. So if that's you today, I'm not going to have you stand or usher you into some other room, which would be okay, but I'm not going to do that. Right where you're seated, God wants to do business with you. So the bold step you're going to have to take is this: with no one looking but myself and the Lord, right where you're at, it would be the honor of my life to lead you in a prayer of commitment to Jesus. But you've got to take a step, and your step is this: to lift up your hand right now, acknowledging that I am far from God. And if that's you, can you raise it up? I see those. I see that. I see it all over. Thank you, Lord. You put your hands down. God, you're so good. Anybody else? Don't miss your moment. I see that hand. Thank you so much. Your honesty before God. I see that hand. So many. I see it. God, you're here. So those that raised their hand a moment ago, and there was many, so you are not alone. But those that raised their hand a moment ago saying, I want to surrender my life to Jesus, and also the Christ followers in the room as support, because you are not alone in this. We've been there. Each of you, I'm going to ask you to repeat this prayer after me. It's a prayer of surrender. It's a prayer that puts your trust and your faith in Jesus and Jesus alone. It's a prayer that asks the Lord to forgive you of your sin. And if you'll say that out loud, Romans 10:9, and believe in your heart, you can know that you know that you know that Jesus hears you and He's saving you, and that your eternity will be spent in heaven with Jesus. So those that raise their hand, and also the Christ followers as support, say this out loud with me. And even more than that, mean it with your heart. Say this: Dear Jesus,
Thank you
for your love. I don't deserve it.
I can't earn it.
But it's mine. So right now, I put my trust in you. Save me. Forgive me of all my sin. Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross, that you rose from the dead, and I ask you now to make me new. Give me a fresh start. Jesus, I love you. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. I pray. Amen. 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 Can somebody get rowdy in this place? Love you, Lord. Nothing is sweet without the sweat. I want you to stand to your feet with me, if you're able to, all across this place. For the many that raised their hand a moment ago, first time in a long time, giving your life to Jesus, I allude to these every week. They're in the back. They're free. No questions asked. But this is the place that you start. That's why we call it the Start Bible Kit. It's got the Gospel of John in it, all about Jesus from the Word of God. It's got a connection card in there, a letter from me to you, letting you know your next steps. And we just hope and pray that you'll take advantage of this like many have. here these last several months. I want you to know that I love you, and I'm proud of where we're going as a church and what's on the horizon for us. Myself and a few of us will be down here at the front. If you need prayer for anything, I know that you go through mess just like I go through. If you need prayer, someone to agree with you, someone to stand with you, if you've got a big interview this next week and you just want God's favor, whatever that looks like for you personally, big and small and everything in between, we love the opportunity to pray with you here at the front. Besides that, you are dismissed, and we'll see you next week. God bless you.